Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Sons of Gun, a podcast about the DC Universe. I'm Alex Gunn.
I'm Justin Gunn.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about Creature Commandos, Episode 4, Chasing Squirrels. If you haven't checked it out on Max, please do. Please watch it, because we're going to spoil it starting right now. In the episode, the flashback turns to Weasel. There have been hints.
The Weasel.
The Weasel.
Throughout fun the character. This guy's fun. I love it.
Well, coming out of the Suicide Squad where he first appeared, we were told that he was a child murderer, and everybody kind of loved him anyway, which was a weird online conversation I don't want to get into too much. But going into this series, there's been hints that maybe that isn't exactly what happened, and that's actually what we find out here. While in the present, volunteer for the Freedom Project named Elizabeth Bates is trying to clear his name. So, of course, we get his flashback here, and it turns out he did not kill any kids. In fact, he tried to save some kids. He befriended them, and through a hilarious Rube Goldberg machine of violence, a bunch of kids died, and Weasel got shot several times by the cops. Meanwhile, in the present, the monsters are all monstars, if you will, are all back Belle Rev? I don't know. We're pronouncing things in the show.
I say Belle Rev, but I also say Cersei, so the world's topsy-turvy.
Sure is. Well, they've captured her, and Amanda Waller is interrogating her. Turns out she is clairvoyant, and the reason she wanted to kill Princess Alana is she had a vision of the future that she shares with Waller that shows a lot of crazy things, including Daily Planet blowed up, the Justice League all dead, multiple characters dead as well. And Waller at that point is freaking out. Meanwhile, Frankenstein tracks down Rick and tries to kill him because he thinks he's in love with the bride. He's like wrong lady dude. And eventually they bond very nicely. So there you go.
Best friends.
Best friends forever. Can I start it off on a negative note?
Whoa.
Okay, sure.
I thought the flashback stuff was great, really sad and very well done. James Gunn had talked at New York Comic Con about how after he wrote this episode, he went out to his wife and was like, I think this is the saddest thing I ever wrote. And I agree. Well, I don't know. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 hit me a lot harder. The flashback stuff with Rocket Raccoon, but
Sad, but there was other stuff going on.
It was also sad with the whole dad situation being a complete asshole.
We have different levels of sadness, I guess.
Yes.
Anyway, I thought the flashback was great. Here's my problem is I don't think it connected to the present at all. And the stuff of the present was interesting, and obviously they're like geek out Easter egg things and whatever. But my concern with the last episode was the present stuff was very light. It was just like not a lot there. And the same thing here. We're getting like little morsels of things in the present, and then we're getting these very meaty flashbacks, and it's not quite connecting thematically.
Yeah, but it's going to connect. I feel like we're seeing this just as the Weasel is going into battle, and I think it's going to play out. And then, you know, a key part of the flashback is going to become very
potentially important. For sure. That is absolutely possible. But I'm just talking about it on an episodic basis. I don't know 100% if this worked as an episode of TV.
Well, I do think, like, as we've spun out here, like, the bride...
They said the title right at the end there. I mean, that should be enough for you.
Yeah.
Yep. The, and then the they went right stuff. Into the credits, and I was like, oh, that's who did that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, I guess that's why they're there, the credits. The bride stuff, two episodes back, I thought... did a great job of being like, here's the backstory, here's why it affects the present story, and it's also fun and emotional and has real resonance. And I sort of agree with you, Alex. This felt like, here's the truth about the weasel. It felt like an origin, a one-shot origin comic that is outside of whatever the continuity that is happening. Maybe, you know, we had a G.I. Robot that felt more like...
Everybody gets a flashback, man, on the team. I don't know why you're not...
No, I think we're losing the tether. Yeah,
we're
exactly.
losing the tether to the drive of the main narrative. And especially this episode had, like, I guess twists, but it was a lot of stuff that was like, the princess is actually evil, something I think we were suspicious of the entire time.
Well, just because a bad person has a psychic, you know what I mean? It could be a possible future. We don't know yet. You know what I mean?
Wait, you think she's good? You think Alana, is that her name, is good?
The princess, you know what I mean, could be. You know, just because somebody has
Rick Flag. You love her.
I don't know.
Do you, when Rick and Alana are making out at the beginning of the episode, do you kind of like stick your face in front of the TV?
Yeah, are you kissing your hand when that's happening?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, Rick. And you're like, Alana.
Wait, sorry, is he Alana and the hand is Rick, or...?
I think sometimes he changes roles, is what I guess. That's what I'm guessing. Weird.
Gotta keep it fresh.
Anyways, I'm glad we got the Brother Wheeze flashback stuff. It was nice to get the kind of like... I'm surprised you don't know that, dude. That's an upstate New York reference. I just think it's one of those things where...
okay.
I'm glad that
Please do not explain further.
Okay, great. I'm glad that we don't, you know, that each episode we're getting new information about the team that we're spending so much time with, and the seesaw battle that is, like, how are we going to pull off this, you know, Frankenstein's monster situation where we have this very famous voiceover guy who's been a hero a lot of stuff, but he's not doing good right now, and I feel weird about rooting for this relationship for them to get together somehow, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, he is unlikable, and I think they're doing a good job of portraying sort of the
It's also
sides.
Kind of hilarious in a bad way, you know?
Well, it definitely lands in a softer place, I think, with a little bit of comedy with him and Rick, but I do think it's doing a good job of showing both sides of toxic masculinity, the sort of, like, aggressive, it has to be my way, I don't care what happens because I'm the man here. To the sudden outpouring of repressed emotions to the point where it's like, why are you doing this here right now, sir? And that's what we're seeing, that sort of perfectly portrayed.
It's also interesting because if we believe the vision is true, Rick is wrong. Like, he's on the wrong side now. He's right. on the side of not bad guys, but certainly, like, on the opposite side while they're trying to protect the world. So that certainly puts him in an interesting place as well.
Well, I think that's maybe the most interesting part here. And this episode is the pivot episode of the season, probably, where we thought we were aligned with Rick. He's the leader. We're supposed to just ride with him, sort of a Captain America type figure. And then to put him on the wrong side with Frankenstein, also a bad guy, but they're going to team up probably and go in there, and we're going to get monsters on monsters, perhaps. That's an interesting... Because we're going to have to switch our perspective, I think, to, at least for a couple episodes, to riding with the bride and the rest of the team, right?
Yeah, you'd like to think so.
Riding with the ride, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Bride or die. A little too fast, too furious. I just think, though, that the, I don't know, with watching it, I was kind of like, okay, I see what's going on. I didn't feel like it was... I don't know, pulling me out or whatever. I do want to talk about some of the funny lines, though, that Frankie's throwing around. His love of rom-coms made me very happy. And then the fact that nobody's seen Titanic. He's like, nobody's seen this Titanic movie. But
that was a good bit.
Yeah, it was some funny bits. But then I'm like, oh, God, I'm laughing. And this guy is like stalking the bride in a horrible way. And it was also hilarious how, like, he first attacks Rick, and Rick thinks this is about the princess, you know, and it's just like, it's so clear to him.
A hilarious mismatch.
Yeah. I also like the figuring out he could shoot him through the eye thing. I thought that was a smart way of figuring out how to hurt him. Yeah. So that was cool. I don't know.
That was cool. Yeah. What do we think about the vision that Cersei had here of the future? Because we saw a lot of strange things. She has a couple scratches on her face, so I bet we'll see that. That feels like a big difference maker. We saw Gorilla Grodd.
Yeah, it seemed
sure
like.
Sure seemed like. My supposition at this point is that Gorilla Grodd, if people don't know, he's usually a Flash villain, though doesn't have to be, but he is a evil psychic gorilla. My supposition is that, like, we think Princess Alata is going to destroy the world, but if you throw Gorilla Grodd there, he's the one pulling the strings behind the scenes.
Yeah, maybe
right?
She becomes a puppet or something. You know, it's not
maybe,
her fault.
But isn't that less fun?
It's less just fun, but okay, so here's my bigger question. We see the entire Justice League at this point. Like, I should have written it down, but killed. But we see very clearly, it's basically like works backwards in terms of fuzziness of characters who have been cast in shows or movies. So John Cena's Peacemaker is front and center, his leg blasted off. But you can see it's David Corenswet's Superman is impaled. Wonder Woman, you can't see her face. Batman, you can't see his face. There's Starfire, I think, was there. It was kind of a swerve, but Vigilante for the Peacemaker show. It looked like maybe Green Arrow. Also, Mr. Terrific. I'm forgetting a couple. Metamorpho. Maybe Captain Atom. Hawkgirl and Supergirl was also there. Yep. And for anybody who's like super smart into costumes, it was Supergirl wearing the skirt costume. So if you want to know what maybe she's going to be wearing in the movie, there you go.
Which tracks, I think. Isn't that the costume in the comic?
Sure is. So here's my question off of that, though. There's all these characters. Are we going to see all of these characters? Like, are we leading up to this vision at the end of the season?
I don't think so.
No. It's also weird that Waller, is just kind of like, oh, we just have to kill this princess. Like, why wouldn't you want to contain her? Or, you know what I mean? The fact that she's just straight up like, yeah, I use monsters as my disposal, or whatever. I'll use people, but for this problem, the only clear solution is just killing this princess.
Well, or, as usually works in these things, why wouldn't you think us trying to kill this princess is the thing that's going to cause the end of the world?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess this is the point where we don't know. We had a very simple story. Mm-hmm. Cersei's bad, go get her. We're staying in this cool castle and screwing around. And now we have a much more complicated story where we don't know what direction it's going to go in. And, you know, that's fine. I think that's fun. But I look forward to setting off on that journey next episode.
And do you think Waller was over the line when she called Flag a bitch? I mean, I felt like that was a little like, oh, you know.
But do you think she was looking like top notch in that floral top?
Anybody? What?
Wow.
Whoa.
Justin's really? Fashion
Whoa.
Corner.
Did you just color put on popping new shades? On that Waller What's top. Up, bro?
Just saying, she had a real spring energy.
Here's one other thing that I'm a little worried about going forward, just based on this, is I really liked, like we talked about with the first couple of episodes, the very clear idea of Cersei leading the Sons of Themyscira to try to get to Themyscira, this very clear take on toxic masculinity, being like, women have this thing, why can't I have this thing too? Give me this thing, I'll take over it. Yeah. Now I don't know what direction we're heading in, because Cersei seems maybe not off the board entirely, but she's certainly like second tier to the big villain who's Princess Alana, or Princess Alana manipulated by Gorilla Grodd or something like that. So presumably, to your point, Justin, we'll find out next episode, but I hope we're getting back to that very strong theme from episodes 1 through 3.
Well, but I do think Frankenstein has sort of scooped up that theme and it's become his. Like the thing in the beginning where he's like, you think I'm less than because I can't grow facial hair.
Yeah, that whole beard bit was hysterical. And
I thought for
like,
sure
You are judging me, and loses his mind.
Loses it, kills everybody. I thought for sure when he pulled that Sharpie off of that dude, he was going to draw facial hair onto his face. And then that isn't what happened, but that was fun.
Oh my God.
Go ahead, Justin.
Oh, you know, you go. I was going to shift.
No, I was just going to do, like, I was also going to shift. So I'll shift quickly because mine is a quick shift. I was just going to mention two casting things that I thought were neat. The person, Elizabeth Bates for the Freedom Project, was Linda Cardellini, who people know from everything, but also she was Lila the Otter from Guardians of the Galaxy 3. So that's the little James Gunn connection there. And Isla McPherson, who's the doctor, who's an expert at Themyscira, is Stephanie Beatriz.
Yeah.
You know, from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So there you go. That's it.
They put a lot of work into getting her name out there.
Mm-hmm.
In this episode, I was like, I was like, I don't know this person.
Well, the weirder thing about it is there is a character spelled slightly differently. I think it's without an A at the beginning, Isla McPherson, who teaches at Gotham, what was it called? Gotham Academy? Was that the thing? Like the school in Wayne Manor?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That comic. Totally different character. So I don't know.
Yeah, it felt very pointed, and I was like, is this going to be an expert in Themyscira? It felt like, is this Wonder Woman? Are we getting a Wonder Woman thing here?
100%. That was absolutely my thought there. It's like, did they just cast Stephanie Beatriz as Wonder Woman?
And the whole thing felt, that's the thing, is this episode felt.
Into, that would be awesome.
This whole episode felt a little bit like, wait, what was that? Like you're at a birthday party and you don't know whose birthday it is or something.
Well, that comes down to the Bell Rev stuff.
Does that happen to you a lot?
We got to see, like, what was it, Congorilla at one point in here as well, and a couple of other characters where it's just like, just a lot was happening in this episode.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that I said it was light, it was just like little tiny little pockets of things happening all over the place in the present. That, I don't know, it just didn't come together.
It's like you go to a dinner party and all they have are dips. You're like, where's the dinner?
Yeah.
Has that
happened to you? You've been to a dip dinner?
Yeah. It was a birthday dip dinner and I didn't know whose birthday it was.
Oh, man, that sounds like the best birthday ever, man.
I'm having a birthday dip dinner. You guys,
I'll be over
by.
In the French dip area, you know what I mean? Love and life.
No, French dip's a meal. I'm talking like tzatziki and pita.
Oh, dude, that's all that glorious.
That would be a really good party.
That'd be awesome. I want to open up a dip place now. Just all dips? Yeah. Just dips, bro.
I don't want to take away from it. Wasn't that Martin Short's bit in the first season of, I wanted to call it Once Upon a Murder, whatever it is. Everybody dies in this building, whatever that show is called.
What's that called? Everybody dies in this building?
Oh, my God.
I'm gonna text my kids. I'm going to text my kids and find out what that show is called.
I think it was a plot point.
The building dies, and so does everyone who watches it. Why is this?
What's that show where you die
Death
if you watch
building?
If you watch it, you die 7 days later. What's that show?
Oh, my God.
No, I think you die
it's
seven buildings.
She's got the Gomez
later.
In it. She
crawls out
everything.
Of the TV and sucks you down a well. I remember this very well.
I did think this episode was unnecessarily sad. Like the whole back half, I was like, this is why it doesn't. And like I think the squirrels line, cool. Like that's cool. That everyone, no one understands.
It was a fun kind of twist on that of like, yeah.
I wouldn't call it fun. It was like a poignant, like, oh, everyone thinks his life is this way, but it's actually much different. But I was like, it does. You could have
gotten
that.
I did laugh in this episode. I mean, when he's like, she's not my type, and he's like, she's everybody's type. Like his blind love.
Well, wait, hold on. I do want to talk about the flashback because I do think the stuff with Weasel was poignant. I liked him playing with the kids, but. And it was sad, but to your point about the unnecessarily sad, like I was joking earlier about the Rube Goldberg machine, all of this stuff was insane. Everything that happened here where the kids are like, let's go into our school. And I was like, that's fine. They find the liquor.
You think that's fine? They could go into the school?
Whatever. Yes.
That's a normal idea.
That is a normal thing of like kids being like, ooh, let's sneak into school. Ooh, we found this in the teacher's desk. But then that they're like,
playing with
let's
booze.
Go down to this oily rag-filled basement and play.
I'm glad finally your alarm went off.
Yes. With like crumpled up paper and a liquor bottle. And
yeah.
That also that like that was furnace. Not the thing that caused the fire. Yeah. That there were multiple more steps of people just doing increasingly insane accidents.
Yeah, it was Final Destination. It was like sort of tragedy porn in a weird way, where I was like, I don't need this to have these kids die to get the point of this story, that Weasel has been misunderstood because he looks different. Mm-hmm. And especially when he's like trying to rescue this kid and the cops just keep shooting him. And then she gets crushed by this school that is made out of like ancient wooden timbers, I guess.
Yeah.
I was like, this doesn't need to happen this way. Let him be a hero and be punished because of it.
What do you build your schools out of?
He doesn't have to let the kids die.
My school was built out of balsa wood and asbestos, and we loved it.
Smart.
We loved it. Yeah. I appreciated the fact that, like, from a political perspective, he's pointing out, without explicitly saying it, that the cops are more willing to, like, attack the weird person than look at the actual situation that's going on. Very pointed, topical topic of conversation. But exactly like you're saying, Justin, everything to get there, it could have been so simplified and gotten the same result. Like, if these dumbass kids were playing liquor bottle baseball in the basement and that was the thing that caused a fire, and he tried to drag them out, and then the cops were like, oh my God, it's a monster. That cuts out all the steps with the old man being like, running home, getting his gun, calling the cops, coming back.
He also shoots him randomly.
He misses, and he shoots the boiler. The boiler explodes, or the large container of gas, or whatever is going on there.
It was also like, there's a fire, and then it's like, okay, there's also a second fire. I was like, I don't think you need both those. My God.
You do.
There's two unrelated fires, basically?
Right. Anyway.
And then when you come in with a gun, you ignore all the fires and just focus on...
Exactly. Shoot the fire, cops. That's the real danger.
That's what firefighters do. They got the guns.
Fire, put your hands up.
I wish firefighters had the balls to unload a pistol on those flames. Instead, they're shooting water like squirt guns.
The only thing that could stop a bad fire is a firefighter with a gun, I honestly.
Oh, boy, we've gone off the rails. How about let's talk about the bride fucking shit up, in support of her new friend.
I like that. I like Nina and the bride's relationship. That's fun.
I do. Nice. There's a great line, more room for monsters to roam. I thought that was cool.
One less human was a great line.
Yeah. I like that we're setting up Nina for something soon, hopefully. I was like, again, I don't think I need to see that dude killed via jaw injury.
Yeah, the old beating somebody to death with the lunch tray. You know what I mean? You got to have a strong lunch tray in prison. Everybody knows that. You got to have a strong lunch tray.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, I do know what you mean. I got your implication there.
Oh, and we should add in post, anytime Pete says, you know what I mean, we should add you, Alex, saying, I do know what you mean. Just so people understand what a team we are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We're like the creature commandos themselves. Anything else about this episode you guys wanted to call out?
Did I talk about Waller's floral top?
Killing. You did. Enough, I think so.
Absolutely killing. I liked when the bride is called Manic Panic. That was a fun ref. That's it. I also thought it was strange that we get a shot of the Superman cape that was straight out of Death of Superman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That whole sequence, that was, I don't know. I know I've been focusing too much on like the outside Uber story of building the DCU, but it's wild to me to be like, oh yeah, we have as we talked about, all the stuff that connects to the DCEU, but don't worry about this. This is a fresh new universe. Come on in, enjoy. You don't need to know anything. By the way, here's 15 heroes and they're all dead.
Yeah.
Also, there's a psychic gorilla. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
The only way you know this is really bad is if you knew who those heroes were.
Right.
I would like to...
I don't know. It's just some random people that bailed.
I would like to compliment the editing. I feel like they do a great job of knowing comedy beats. You know, when Frankie yells best friends at Flag, and then they just kind of immediately cut. That's great. And they do a great job at the end after the, you know, I wonder what he's dreaming about. Probably just chasing squirrels music. You know what I mean? Like they're.
I do know what you mean.
Fuck. Yeah. Yeah, that was good on this show.
It's great. So, yeah, well, you were complimenting the editing. I wanted to make sure we had a great edit point to drop in. One of us saying, I do know what you mean.
Oh, we got we didn't talk about, we got John Economos, everybody's favorite character, Steve Aggie, in this episode.
Yes. He had a lot of time.
He had a sweet beard, too.
He did. He was well animated. It looked like Steve Aggie or Aggie. It did. I don't know.
I think it's Aggie.
Aggie? It's Aggie. Yeah. Okay. All right.
But yes, shouts to him.
Cool. If they can pronounce it Cersei, we can pronounce his name however we want.
That's the trade-off.
And that's probably a good place to wrap up this episode. If you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about the DCU, Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show. Comic Book Club on Blue Sky, Comic Book Club Live on TikTok, Instagram, and Threads, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, Dad, stop making things so sad.
Aw.
Yeah, man. What's up? What did we do to you? Did we scar you? Do you know what we mean?
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.